It's November in Gate City, Virginia. A boy is riding his bike home in the gathering dark. It's a normal scene in this small Virginia mountain town, but it becomes suddenly less normal as the boy hears running footsteps gaining on him from behind. One of his friends skids breathlessly to a stop beside him on the road and begins spilling a tale of something following him. "When I move, it moves. When I stop, it stops," he says. The boys are confused as to what it could possibly be, but human or animal, neither really wants to wait around to find out. They quickly part ways, and our boy decides to shorten his trip by cutting through his grandparents' backyard. Pedaling past a stand of grapevines, he stopped in his tracks by the sound of movement through the bushes behind him. He doesn't want to know what's back there. He doesn't want to look. Doesn't dare. But of course he has to look. He turns, and there beside the grapevines is his unseen follower. It's a 7-foot-tall figure, like an enormous man, but like no person he's ever seen. It leans toward him but makes no sound and just stands there, watching with the cold moonlight shining through the coarse hair on its body. Our boy, needless to say, doesn't wait around to see what happens next. This is a story, like many others, of coming face to face with the impossible. And this is Smoky Mountain Legends. Think of Bigfoot, and it normally conjures visions of the steep, craggy mountains of the Pacific Northwest, of grainy 16mm films, of hairy giants striding away into the trees, and of blurry photos of looming shadows that just don't look quite normal. Until the last few years, though, it's been less widely known that the Smokies have their own well-documented history of Sasquatch encounters. Our opening story was that of Phil Smith, and that night left such an impression on him that it led him to co-found the Blue Ridge Monsters and Legends Facebook group, providing others with an open forum to share and discuss their own strange sightings. There are, of course, far too many stories to relate here, but I'd like to share a few. One of a Georgia man who tells of a sighting along Highway 515 near Cherry Log, of seeing a dark 7 to 8 foot tall creature, hairy and massive with a somewhat pointed head, standing by the highway. He skidded to a stop to try to get a closer look as the creature was passing through a small patch of trees, but instead it vanished. There was another Georgian near Clayton who reported seeing a black and gray colored creature walking through a field and then appeared to kneel down at a creek. The man stopped, exited his vehicle to try to get a closer look at it. He was no farther than 50 feet at this point when it noticed him and calmly walked away back into the trees. There's a Wythe County, Virginia couple who spotted what they could only describe as a young Bigfoot, a bipedal, hairy creature, 4 feet tall with very long arms, as it jumped over a fence to escape their approaching vehicles. And the stories don't always just include sightings. There are stories of tents and RVs being shaken and pelted with rocks in the darkness, strange wood knocking that comes from somewhere off in the forest and is often answered by knocks from another spot further off, strange, eerie vocalizations, ape-like hooting, and screams that don't sound like any known wildlife, but certainly don't sound human. Then there's the physical evidence, from Tennessee hikers finding possible tracks on a trail in Frozen Head State Park in Morgan County, to photographs, strange groupings of fallen and broken trees that can't be explained by the natural actions of wind or snow. These stories come from all over the Smokies, from all walks of life, believers and skeptics. So widespread, in fact, that it inspired one Georgia man to open his own museum dedicated to the creature and its lore. David Bacara, and I hope I pronounced that right, a Navy vet and longtime member of the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, or BFRO, opened Expedition Bigfoot, the Sasquatch Museum, in Cherry Log, Georgia in 2016. He's filled it with written accounts, a loop of the famed Patterson-Gimlin film, cast tracks, including one all the way from Australia, and 3D models of alleged encounters. Interest has grown so much over the last 3 years that Bacara now hosts upwards of 50,000 visitors a year and is looking to expand the museum to accommodate more. I'd like to close this episode with one final story. Camped along a Forest Service road near Helen, Georgia, a young family looks forward to a relaxing weekend in the mountains. Their second day dawns with a rather thrillingly close encounter with a black bear as it walks through their campsite, but otherwise the day settles into a calm routine. Somewhere around noon, the young man begins to feel that something just isn't quite right. A feeling like being watched. It set him on edge, but he pushed it aside and continued gathering firewood and putting the finishing touches on their campsite. He fully expected the feeling would pass, but it didn't. And by late afternoon, it had grown to an almost certainty that they needed to be off that mountain before dark, or else. He struggled with it for a bit, but discretion being the better part of valor, he decided it was time to go. He asked his wife if she would think he was crazy if he said they needed to pack the entire camp and leave immediately. It would be no small feat, but something in his demeanor must have convinced her that something was truly wrong, and she agreed without hesitation. They swiftly broke camp and began packing, and our hero's anxiety grew steadily worse as the sun dipped lower. Along near dark, he heard a strange, almost musical knocking sound from high up the hill to their right. That was swiftly answered by a similar sound on the ridge to their left. Not knowing then what he knows now, he didn't recognize the sound, but knew it wasn't normal. Just as they were packing the last of their gear in the truck, what sounded like a large rock came crashing through the canopy overhead, thrown from apparently somewhere high up on the hill where the first knocking sound had come from. It ripped leaves and small branches from the trees it passed through and splashed into the creek they were camped beside. Needless to say, they didn't stick around to find out what came next. That story is mine. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. If you like what I'm doing, please feel free to subscribe and click that bell so you'll know when I post new videos, which I promise will be sooner than a year this time. And if you really like this kind of thing, share the videos and the channel. Help me grow this thing. I've included links to the news stories and the sites I used in this video in the notes below, in case you want to jump down this rabbit hole with me. As always, leave me a like and a comment to say hi. It's nice to know someone's out there. Thanks much. See you next time.